Aren't you glad? Now, I didn't say he takes them all away. Okay? That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Someday he's going to, but not yet. So he doesn't take them all away, but he can lift us above our troubles. That's where our mind and our heart needs to be, doesn't it? All right, life holds many troubles that rise up high above our ability to deal with them. But in the Lord is the help and strength we need. Often, this was David's and our encouragement. Remember, we've spoken several times about how David had, at one time, he had to encourage himself in the Lord. You ever had to do that? Sometimes we just have to do that if we're going to be encouraged. Okay, we ought to be mindful of one another and be encouraging to one another whenever we can. But there are times when we have to encourage ourselves. David did that. Okay, the subtitle here, to the chief musician upon Neganah. Neganah. We haven't encountered that word before. Actually, this is the singular of one that we have encountered several times. Neganoth. Remember that? Okay, I'm sure you remember all these words, right? I don't have to define them, do I? Well, maybe I do. David wanted this to be sung by God's people for encouragement, to be accompanied by a stringed instrument. Now, really all the Psalms are that, aren't they? To be accompanied by an instrument. Okay? But this one was to be a single, for some reason. The word indicates it was to be a single instrument. Okay? The word Neganah is singular, perhaps indicating a psalm that's very personal to one's individual case. We can see how that could be. You know, have you ever been in need and turned to the Bible and turned over to the Psalms and had the Psalms feed your soul? The Psalms are wonderful for that, aren't they? Now, you may be sitting beside someone right now that they may not need the same thing that you do, and it's very possible that that's the case. But the Psalms can speak to your heart individually. And this was one that David needed some encouragement at times past, and it gave what the Spirit led him to write. So this Neganah is singular, perhaps indicating a psalm that's very special to one's individual case. The plural of this, Neganoth, was found in Psalms 4, 6, 54, and 55. Okay, so if you have to happen to check those out, then that's where we've seen a similar word to this, the plural form. All right, but verse 1 begins. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. You ever been there? While his cry demonstrates great distress, his twofold request is to be heard and helped. That's why we pray it, don't we? I know there's prayers of praise and thanksgiving, but when we're needing help, we want the Lord to hear. And we want him to do something about it, don't we? Okay? So reverently, we cry unto the Lord and beg for his help. This cry is to our God. Thankful that we can call upon friends. I'm thankful we can call upon family. But there's times when we have to call upon God. He's the only one that can help. All right, so this cries to our God, who knows the need fully and who is well able to provide. I love to think about that, don't you? That he's able. I mean, if we didn't think he was able, why would we bother to cry unto God? But he has all power. He's the Lord of hosts, the God of endless supply. And so we can call upon him knowing that if it's his will, he can supply the need that we have. Feeble is the help of man, and cursed are those who look to another for help. Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." I started to put some notes in here, and I thought, well, it's probably going to get lengthy, but there were several kings over Israel who for a while trusted the Lord, but later in life, for some reason, sometimes we're not even told why, they turned away. Isn't that sad? But you know what? That ought to cause every one of us to tremble, because it could be us. It could be. Oh, may God help us to remember him, to remember to call upon him and ask him for the help that we need and stay faithful to him. All right, so Jeremiah said, cursed is the one whose heart departed from the Lord. But here's wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You're familiar with that verse, aren't you? Isn't that good counsel? God is our help all the time. Now, if you get to the place in life where you think, Lord, I can handle it from here, you're just about ready to slip. Maybe you already have. Is that what you said? Yeah. All right. He's our help all the time. He's what we need in the good times and in the bad. And walking daily with him keeps him near in trouble. Isn't that good counsel? Yeah. Thus, when we call, we have more assurance that he will both hear and give us his help. I tell you, it's a miserable feeling to have tried to go your own way for a while and realize you need the help of the Lord and have to find him. You know, we know he's not lost. But in our own mind, we kind of take our own journey sometimes, don't we? Kind of like when Joseph and Mary left and went a day's journey. Supposing. You ever done that? Supposing that the Lord was along with you. And how long did it take them to find him? 3 days. There's a lesson in that, isn't there? Okay. So we need to stay close to the Lord so that he's helped. He's keep him near in our trouble. Verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. This verse is very telling. It's thought that this was during the time when King David was fleeing from Absalom, his son. You remember there was a time before David was king, even though he was anointed, before he was king, he ran from Saul. But even after he became king, he had to run from Absalom for a while. Or he did. The inward struggle must have been immense. Having an enemy that's driven you from your throne and also your more sacred place of worship, who's also your own son. Among the last persons on the face of the earth who you'd want to fight and certainly not destroy. So just think about that. Just think about the struggle that David must have had during that time. He said it was when I'm overwhelmed. Think of how that would be. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. It's no wonder that David is overwhelmed. But at the very time when he was about to go under, he turns to his greatest source for strength and help. Now, that's the Lord, isn't it? Our greatest source, our greatest help, the one who knows all and knows exactly what we need. But how often? Is it stubbornness? I wouldn't say so much it's ignorance. Maybe it is stubbornness. That we don't turn to the Lord sooner than we do in our troubles sometimes. You think? You know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I suspect you do too. All right. This also is wisdom. And may it be a lesson that we will remember always. There are many things that will arise that are far bigger than we can handle. Have you been there? And like great mountains, our problems can tower over us and overshadow everything that is good in our lives. Right? I mean, you can be there. I mean, there can be good things in your life, but whatever that mountain is, it just blocks it out, doesn't it? But before you sink in despair, turn to your rock. Cry for his help and beg him to lift you up to where you need to be. He's far greater than all our troubles. Isn't that right? He has all the answers. Do you believe that? All right. See, there's a reason why I'm asking all these questions. I mean, we might say these things, but I'm talking about, do you really believe that he has all the answers? Or are you still looking for answers elsewhere? He has the answers we need. And he has all the help that we will ever need. All right? Do you remember Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2? Okay. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. It's kind of how this psalm began. And he cried unto the Lord. Well, here's another time when David said, the Lord heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Don't you love that passage? Going from where he was to putting his feet upon a rock and establishing his going. And that passage didn't stop there, did it? It said he put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. I tell you, you go from a miry pit to praising the Lord with your feet upon the rock. That's deliverance, isn't it? And God can do that. He can do it in an instant. He could do it for this nation. Yes, he can. Sometimes we wonder, don't we? But he could do that if it was his will to do it. There's no reason why. I mean, there's no limitation in his ability. Okay. Well, what makes us tremble is that we realize we don't deserve it. With all that's gone on in this nation, with this government that we have and laws in many localities and all the way up to the national level, you know, calling evil good and good evil, God's not pleased with that, is he? And so perhaps we hesitate sometimes in even asking the Lord. You know, but I still see from time to time, especially on the marquee out in front of churches, God bless America. Here lately, I've turned that around. I'd rather say America, bless God. That's what we need, isn't it? That's what'll get his attention, for us to bless his name. He's already blessed America tremendously. What have we done for him? Yeah. But he's able. He's able to lift us out of the miry clay, set our feet upon a rock, put a new song in our mouth, even praise to our God. He's able to do that, and he can do it in an instant. And that's where our confidence is in what God is able to do. This very likely spoke of another time of distress or his distresses in general. Yet the needs and the remedy are the same. David needed deliverance, and he needed it from God. And God's the one who's able to do it. All right? So the remedy's the same, isn't it? The nature of the trouble may change, but the helper and the need is the same. Our rock can lift us from the depths of despair to set our feet upon a solid footing. He can establish our goings, while otherwise they were bogged down in the mire. And through him, remember the last psalm? Through him, we can rise valiantly above our trouble to hope for better days ahead. There's no reason for God's people to be hopeless. We need to trust God. Look to him. He's able to supply our need. We get overwhelmed at times, don't we? We do. And I don't want to burst your bubble, but it'll happen again. I know you know that. But when? Listen, David didn't say if, right? He said, when? With all the confidence that David had in the Lord, with all the experience that he'd had of being delivered from the Lord, he still said, when my heart is overwhelmed, it's going to happen. And you could also remember that when it does happen, Satan's going to be right there, because he's going to come after you when you're the most vulnerable. And he's going to take it for whatever he can get. That's why we need to swiftly turn to the Lord. When we feel ourselves being overwhelmed, we need to turn to the Lord. Cry unto him. He knows our need. He loves us. And he'll watch over us. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Verse 3. So he said now, from verse 2, from the end of the earth. In other words, and I think I said this, but I didn't comment on it. This seems to indicate that it was during that time when David was away from Jerusalem and away from the tabernacle where he loved to go and worship. What if you were exiled? Couldn't get around your family. Couldn't be where you wanted to be. You ever thought about that? You might need to think about it. Things are changing around here, you know. I've thought about things in the last few years in this nation that I never thought I'd have to think about. It seems that David was exiled. Couldn't come back. Couldn't be in those places that were so precious to him. And he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. And then in verse 3 he says, for thou hast been a shelter for me. Oh, this is the voice of experience. What does experience give us? You know, Romans chapter 3. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. And experience what? Hope. All right? He's not hopeless. He may be overwhelmed, but he's not hopeless. All right? For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I mean, already he's told us where his confidence is. He's thinking, all right? Thou hast been, he says. That tells us this is not the first time that David has had to flee to the Lord for his help. Okay? We understand that. We've read the scriptures. Perhaps you've had many times you've needed to flee to the Lord. And what we just mentioned a moment ago, there'll be other times. Okay, let's remember to flee to the Lord as soon as we realize that we need his help. So thou hast been, this tells us it's not the first time David has had to flee to the Lord for his help. And what had he found before? That God had been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. This was real. This was real help and really personal. And we need to lay that to heart. You know, and we were talking about in the beginning of this, it's like it was indicated to be sung and accompanied by a single instrument. Perhaps it's indicating that this is a personal experience. This was something very personal to David. It could be very personal to you. Sometimes others are involved in our struggles, but there's times when our struggles are our own, and we need the Lord's help. And we cry to him on our own. So he says that God had been a shelter for me. This was real and really personal. Further, he says, God had been a strong tower from the enemy. And it didn't matter who the enemy was, for God proved to be strong against them all. Verse 4, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. Even though David could not be in Jerusalem, nor in the tabernacle where he loved to go to find solace, yet that did not keep him from finding refuge in the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? In the Old Testament, they had a law service. They had sacrifices. They had animal sacrifices. They had meal offerings. They had all kinds of things that had to be brought, and had to be brought to a certain place in order for that worship to count. Aren't you glad we don't have to go to Jerusalem today? A lot of reasons for that, isn't there? We can worship him in spirit and in truth. But I'll tell you, that was a special place for David. He loved the Lord. He loved to go there and worship, but he couldn't go there right now. Couldn't go there at this time. But that didn't keep him from finding refuge in the Lord. This was his anchor in the storms of life. Further, David said he would trust in the covert of his wings. What is that? A covert was a covered way, a place of hiding, or for refuge and protection. Okay? Something that provided a covering to protect them. Okay? Doesn't that describe our Lord very well? And what's more, again, David made it very personal by saying that he trusted in the covert of thy wings. What tranquility David knew to be found was to feel that the Lord's wings of love were wrapped around him. You know, if you've gotten off to yourself, if you're having great trouble, if you're praying to God, isn't it wonderful to feel his presence? And David speaks of, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Jesus described this kind of protection that God is pleased to give his children as he spoke to the Jews in Matthew 23:37. Now, Matthew 23 was a scathing rebuke to the Pharisees But in part of this, he tells us something about the heart of God and his willingness to provide protection for his children. Listen to what he says. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Now, regardless of the attitude of the Jews and how they resisted and were stubborn and rebellious toward God, God says, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a chicken gathereth, as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. Just imagine that hen gathering in those biddies, perhaps even willing to give its own life. You know, that's the instinct that God's given to animals, isn't it? That hen would gather them up and try to, if necessary, give her own life to protect those little chickens. Just a little picture. But how much greater is the love of God toward his people? That when they're facing trouble, when they need to feel his presence, that the Lord would give us such an analogy as that, that we could feel as if his wings of love and protection are round about us. I hope you felt that in your times of trouble, when you prayed to God and felt like he heard you and gave you an answer. David had experienced that protection before, and he longs for it yet again. Verse 5, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Does everybody fear God? I wish they did. Don't you? Wish they did, but they don't. But there's a heritage to those that fear his name. David said, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear. What could we vow to the Lord that he does not already deserve? He deserves more praise than we will ever give to his name. So what could we vow to the Lord that he doesn't already deserve? I don't think there's anything. Yet the Lord was pleased that David acknowledged what the Lord had laid upon his heart. You know, that's what we need to do. We need to say, thank you, Lord, with our words, with our actions, with our heart, with our footsteps. Everything we do in life should be saying, thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your blessings. Haven't we said many times as we've gone through the Psalms, if he never gave us another blessing, we've got enough already to praise him in all eternity for it. Somebody might say, well, I don't feel like I've got that much. If you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, if he died for your sins, you've got something to praise him in all eternity for. All right? So, who is it that will fear God's name? Is it not those who God loves, who he cares for daily, and who are blessed to know and love him? We love him because he first loved us, right? 1 John 4:19. Okay. So what is their heritage that David felt God had given them? Now, this would take a long time, but I gave you a few ideas. That heritage. Suffering is certainly a part of it, in this life at least. Didn't Jesus have to suffer? Did he suffer very much? Well, then, doesn't it stand to reason that if he had to suffer tremendously, what is it if we have to suffer a little bit? You know, recently we talked about our light afflictions, which are but for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So we shouldn't faint in our trials and our sufferings. What Christ has already accomplished for us should help us to carry through. We'll get overwhelmed at times, but we need to be turning to the Lord, don't we? That's what David was doing here. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, when it is, not if, but when it's going to be, we've got one that we can turn to who loves us. He's already shown us he loves us because he's already died for us and redeemed us from our sins. All right, so part of that heritage, in this life at least, will be suffering for his name's sake. Can we do that? If it means suffering in order to be faithful to the Lord, can we do that? We ought to be found trying, that's right. We ought to be found trying. He's done so much for us. He's worthy of it. Jesus suffered the cross before he was exalted. He was persecuted, and so will we be. I believe Paul even said in 2 Timothy, yea, and all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. So if we're endeavoring to live a godly life, now I understand that depends upon the culture in which we live. In the Bible Belt, we don't have too many problems, do we? Not too many. Sometimes we meet a little resistance to what we believe and the exercise of our faith, but not too much. But there's an awful lot of Christians who are being persecuted and being put to death as we speak. Next time you see our son Timothy, you might ask him about that. I know it's been happening a long time. All down through the history of the church has been persecution. We've had it so good that we've literally gone to sleep. I think we're waking up, aren't you? It's time, isn't it? Like Paul said, it's high time. It's high time. Elder Sonny Powell says high time means it's just before it's too late. It's high time that we wake up and be faithful to our God. All right, so there's suffering, there's persecution as a part of the heritage of being a child of God living in this fallen, sin-cursed world. But great blessings are given for suffering for righteousness' sake. The Apostle Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, he said that I may know him. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul, why do you want to know that? Because that means fellowship with Christ. That means the power of Christ would rest upon him, giving him the help and the strength and the deliverance that he needed through those sufferings. And if you could feel like the Lord's with you, like the poet songwriter said, you know, come what may of joy and sorrow, if the Lord's with us, if we can feel his loving arms of love and protection around about us, I tell you, that means a lot, doesn't it, as we go through this life. But it needs to be for righteousness' sake, right? If we suffer for well-doing, then we're blessed. great fellowship with the Lord and his saints are to be enjoyed as well. Not only with the Lord, but with the fellow saints. Those who also know something about the suffering. Aren't you thankful for the church? Aren't you thankful for brethren of like precious faith? Aren't you thankful that we have those that we can turn to, that we can confide in, that we can enjoy being with, realizing that we're facing the same afflictions here in this world? You know, Peter said, you know, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which shall come upon you. Are we going to be tried severely because of our faith? At least we see a possibility of that, don't we? You know, and in a time when you would think that our government would be doing everything they could to keep it from us, it seemed like they're opening the door and letting it in. And I don't say that to drag this stuff in, except that we realize it's high time, brethren. It's high time that we realize what we're facing and be faithful to the Lord. So great fellowship with the Lord and his saints are to be enjoyed as well. And most of all, the heritage of those that fear him, most of all, righteousness and eternal peace awaits us. That's what gives us hope, doesn't it? That's what helps us to get through, because we know that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not into things which are seen, to things which are unseen. We're not to look at these afflictions, these trials, these burdens that we're having to go through right now, because they're temporary. We need to be looking at what's eternal. We need to be looking at what's lasting. We need to look at what will be the joy that will never end. That's awaiting. That's the heritage of those that fear him. And it's unconditional, isn't it? You don't have to. Now, you should, but it's not based upon our faithfulness. It's already been based upon the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. His merit has purchased it for us eternally. All right. Verse 6. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. When I was reading through different things this week, I saw this that Charles Spurgeon had said. I just decided I'd just put that in there. He said it so well in so few words. He said, regarding these two verses, thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. Spurgeon said he lived to see generation after generation personally. In his descendants, he lived as king, though a very long period, through a very long period. His dynasty continued for many generations. Remember, God promised that it'd be one of his seed that would sit upon the throne. So it continued for many generations. And in Christ Jesus, his seed and son, remember? When he asked about the Messiah, you know, whose son is he? They said David. Well, that's partly right, because he was to be of the seed of David. Okay? All right, so through Christ, we're talking about those preserving the life of the king in many generations. In Christ Jesus, his seed and son, spiritually, David reigns on evermore. Thus he who began at the foot of the rock, going back to the early part of this psalm, he that began at the foot of the rock, half drowned and almost dead, is here led to the summit and sings as a priest abiding in the tabernacle, a king ruling with God forever, and a prophet foretelling good things to come. Thought I'd share that with you, what Spurgeon said. Surely, I'm back to my notes now. Surely, mercy and truth does preserve us each day. Don't you need mercy every day? Isn't the truth of God a comfort and a stability for you every day? So it preserves us every day. For where would we be without it? Years ago, I heard an accountant. He was a minister, but he was also an accountant. And somehow or another, in some of his research, he'd found that some denomination, I'm not even going to tell you which one, had come out with their latest revisions to their faith. You know, their revisions for that year, based upon whatever changes they felt like was necessary. Aren't you glad that God's word never changes? The truth cannot change. It never will change. It will be there for us, no matter what we have to face, no matter how much our culture changes. God's word's not going to change with it. It's the truth now, always will be. So, where would we be without it? On whom could we rest our cares if not upon the Lord? But also, into all eternity, our security and tranquility lies in God's mercy upon us and his truth that was promised and then fulfilled in his dear Son. Prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. Okay, verse 8. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. So. That's how he started that verse. So. Why is that word there? Because of all that's been said, because of the refuge and protection afforded him and us, the heritage, the blessings to be enjoyed by those who fear him, for God's mercy and truth that abide unchanged, and because of the relief that we can expect when we cry to him in our distress. David said, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever. What a saving influence this has upon God's people who remember God's mercy upon them and thank him for it. Have you thanked God for his mercy today? If you haven't, go ahead and do it. Don't let this day pass without thanking God for his mercy. This had much to do with him daily performing his vows, no matter what distress he faced. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. When, not if. It's going to come, but when. He knew God could lead him to the rock that was higher than his troubles. Beautiful song. Any comments?